What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been waiting to talk about Biden's speech from last night. I think he did some incredibly great things, but unsurprisingly, it was very scripted, right? You didn't get any of Joe being Joe. It was scripted. It was, frankly, pretty short. It was to the point. I think the highlights, for me at least, was President Biden's emphasis that this is about you. That he really took care to say this isn't about me, which, again, draws such a contrast to the former MAGA president, where it's all about him all the time. I draw strength and joy in working for the American people, but this sacred task of perfecting our union is not about me. It's about you, your families, and your futures. It was very solemn. It was very, intentional and deliberate. I was sad. I was sad for the man. I couldn't help but to feel his sense of loss in the moment, and was palpable, right? Like, you could... It was very serious. And, I will think of Joe Biden as the guy saying, this is an effing big deal to Barack Obama, the guy with the aviators on, that's Joe Biden. That wasn't the guy last night, but he said what needed to be said. From a tone perspective, I was kind of hoping for something more exuberant, right? Leaning into the torch passing. Brian, what were your reactions as you watched it?
That's the thing, is that we wanted that moment. We felt like we needed that moment because I feel like he kind of made the announcement. People found out when he specifically released it on Twitter.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't, they knew it was coming, but they didn't know what happened until it already happened. And I don't know that everybody got necessarily a closure as they wanted. And yeah. I think last night everybody set it up to be, this is going to be our closure. And I don't think he's capable of that anymore, which is the whole point of him dropping.
Yeah. Yes.
And you want that thing. But if he had that thing, he wouldn't be given that address anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. I all of that's true, right? And yet you still hope for the breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
But I think, again, I think he really said some incredibly important things. What did you think of Joe Biden's address to the nation last night? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's take a listen. He talks about the Resolute Desk, and then he moves on, and he talks about a defense of democracy. Let's take a listen to some of the earlier comments from the speech.
My fellow Americans, I'm speaking to you tonight from behind the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office. In this sacred space, I'm surrounded by portraits of extraordinary American presidents. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title.
Yeah. I mean, that's the moment, right? He does then talk about the next generation. Let's take a listen to that.
So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. There's also a time and a place for new voices.
That was the moment. Again, I think that's as close as we were going to get from the president. And I think that's what people are reacting to. I think that's what the New York Times Siena Snap poll is showing, that people wanted the torch to be passed. Frankly, I think Republicans do. I think there are a lot of traditional conservatives that are quietly and privately appalled and that wish they could turn the page. the challenge, my call to them is, what are you going to do now, right? Like, if you agree that Donald Trump, that you like the policies, you want tax cuts for billionaires and super profitable, America's 300 most consistently profitable corporations, you think that's great. You've convinced yourself that trickle down is a thing. It's not. I mean, even the guy that came up with the Laffer curve, the guy named Laffer, came out like 3 years ago and went, that's not a thing.
Yeah. It's been proven time and time again that that doesn't actually work.
If you like all that, but you can see that this man is dangerous, that the unitary executive theory, that presidents are kings, that a Supreme Court that's this far afield from regular Americans, that those things are bad, what are you going to do now? I mean, we'll get to Vice President Harris's VP pick, but there are some moderates on the short list. I mean, that's what we've got. Kamala Harris, you can call her a DEI hire because you're a racist as long as you want, but guess what she is? Kamala Harris is a moderate. Yeah. If you are extremely progressive, you will find some elements of her time as a frontline prosecutor and as an attorney general enforcing the sentencing guidelines and laws in the state of California problematic, because that system that was created in California and other states produces disparate and racist outcomes. And we should be able to talk about that. We should be able to say, yep, that's difficult. Let's ask Vice President Harris about that. Let's ask ourselves, what do we need to do to make our system of laws more just? Can we walk and chew gum at the same time? But that's just it. Do you want to actually have that conversation? Or do you want leadership that says, there's no conversation to be had, let's just lock people up as if they're animals, throw away the key, because I'm good, you're bad, end of discussion. I mean, come on. Let's take a little bit more listen to President Biden's address yesterday. I thought calling upon we the people was important. And then I want to listen to the character question. So let's listen. He makes a comment about us Americans, and then he talks about character, but let's listen.
I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union, it's not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people. Mm. In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as friends, as fellow Americans. Can we do that? Does character in public life still matter? I believe I know the answer to these questions.
You know what hit me? Just like these last couple of clips. And I think it speaks to what the Biden thing is. He sounds like my dad. Mm. My dad had a stroke a couple years ago.
Mm.
And it was the first time that I felt like he was vulnerable and weaker. And it was a really weird thing. And so hearing my dad slur his speech when he's tired because he's got a stroke and things like that, that's exactly how I felt just then listening to the president.
And that I think, thanks so much, Brian, for sharing that. Fundamentally, I think what we all want to hear from our nominee or from our president is we want to feel like someone of integrity and strength is there to protect us and our most core values, the things that we all, regardless of party, hold most sacred. And as Joe Biden has aged, we feel like we needed to protect him. I think his handlers felt like they needed to protect him. And that tension became the problem, right? And this is the point where, again, the contrast with the former MAGA president is so stark. I don't feel protected or cared for one iota by Donald Trump. It's not we the people. He doesn't care for everyone. I mean, I'll make the argument he doesn't care about anybody except himself. But even if you think he cares about you, you know he doesn't care about other people. Why is that okay? Why is it okay for a presidential candidate to say these people matter, these Americans matter, these human beings matter, and these human beings and these Americans don't? I don't feel protected. I don't feel like our most sacred values are protected by a man like the former MAGA president. I do feel like a former prosecutor, former assistant district attorney, and an attorney general, and a vice president, and a senator. Yeah, I feel protected by Madam Vice President. That, I mean, when I look at her and I watch her do her thing, I feel like this woman's going to kick some butt. And that makes me feel protected, and it makes me feel seen. It makes me feel like I still matter. Because all I've heard from the MAGA movement and those that call into the show defending it is, you don't matter, Maggie. Black people don't matter. LGBTQIA people don't matter. We get to... You don't get a voice anymore. We get to decide who matters, and you're not it. That is so fundamentally un-American. And the fact that people call themselves Christians while espousing a lot of that, crazy. Just crazy. And so disappointing. It's like, come on, people. Do better.
You're better than that.
Yeah.
And I bet you if she had to prosecute the January 6th people, I'm pretty sure she would give them all due process under the law, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. We'll take a little bit more of President Biden's speech when we return. We'll take your calls and texts, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And then I'm going to get to the favorite part of the show today, Kamala versus Jeff, Bill, and Brett. You know, she takes on the old white dudes. I mean, what more could you ask for? I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere, folks. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
We will not go back. What did you think of the president's speech last night? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Germantown pointing out that Biden didn't limit what our country's about to only people with kids. Like, single women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, or married women that don't have kids, you too are a person. What a radical notion. Chris Casper, thank you, Chris, from the WAUK, texting in, what Joe Biden did is the most selfless and patriotic thing I've seen an American politician do in my lifetime. I'm 47. Last night's speech made me simultaneously proud and incredibly sad. Yep. That is it in a nutshell. On that note, let's listen to a bit of Joe Biden expressing his gratefulness, his thanks to VP Harris, and expressing what a privilege it's been.
In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as friends, as fellow Americans. Can we do that? Does character in public life still matter? I believe I know the answer to these questions. I've given my heart and my soul to our nation, like so many others. I've been blessed a million times in return with the love and support of the American people. I hope you have some idea how grateful I am to all of you. I'd like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced, she's tough, she's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country. My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years.
Yeah, that guy. A selfless public servant. I agree with Chris. I think this moment in political history will go down in the annals as nothing short of heroic. Nothing short of heroic, given what is on the line. Now, Reince Priebus gave a bit of a rebuttal, which I thought, I don't know, it didn't really land. I mean, even if I was sort of open to what he was saying, it was kind of like...
You're saying that Reince Priebus, his messaging didn't land with you?
Mm-hmm. I was shocked, I say. Let's take a listen. Brian, pick a couple of Priebus clips.
One of the most remarkable things about this speech was that Joe Biden didn't address the elephant in the room. He didn't explain to anyone listening why, in fact, he decided to step down.
Did you not get it the first time? I mean, it's we kind of figured that out.
Reince, you're a lawyer. Let me explain. Democrats and liberals don't like racism, misogyny, and hatred. Democrats and liberals and progressive think we should be doing something about conservation and the planet. We think things like gun control are good. And we think that the insurrection on January 6th was a moral wrong and an unacceptable way for democracies to conduct business. We think assailing our electoral systems based on repeated lies without any evidence for years is morally wrong and a bad idea. We think a Supreme Court that strips rights away from people for the first time in decades, declares presidents kings, says bribery of government officials is just fine, and substitutes their non-expertise for that of experts in our most critical regulatory agencies, who threatens to pull drugs like mifepristone off the shelf, that a president who would permit and sign a national abortion ban, that those things are bad. So the explanation is that Joe Biden realized that our democracy and our values were more important than his own ego and ambition. I'll roll that one more time, Reince. President Biden figured out that our democracy and most sacred values are more important than his ego and his ambition. Can your guy say the same? Don't answer. We all know the truth.
The funniest thing about this entire situation is that none of them thought that this would ever happen. It was not even on their radar.
Because, and we talked about this yesterday, the projection from the GOP, right, is so complete. They believe that rabid self-interest, profiteering off of government offices, degradation of all of our institutions, blowing through norms, treating people unkindly, cruelty to oppress, that these are just, you know, this is what we do here. And so, of course, Joe Biden would never step down from the nomination because we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, the thought of anybody being selfless, I don't... It's the theme of literally every single movie, action movie for the last 40 years, is the hero making a self-sacrifice.
It's the
Bruce Willis blowing himself up.
It's Joseph Campbell's hero journey cycle.
It's the thing.
I have an epiphany, and then I selflessly give for the betterment of all. And
Greek tragedies, anyone?
Yes. I mean, all of literature basically follows the same story plot. It's the entirety of every Star Wars film.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lucas just ripped that off from Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell, like, fully.
That character just had a moment of epiphany and is going to move on, probably going to die in the sacrifice of themselves now. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to happen.
Let's hear more about what Reince doesn't get. Let's listen to the political decision.
Why did he decide to step down? And it's very clear. We all know the answer. The answer he decided to step down was that this was a political decision.
In politics?
I mean, again, Reince Priebus, really, really smart guy. Incredibly effective politician himself. But for real? For real, dude? You don't get... You know, I've had this moment a few times, Brian. Republicans really don't like it when you out-strategize them.
They're so mad. Like
oh, my gosh!
As if you broke the rules by doing so.
I mean, you don't get... The party of no rules and insurrections doesn't get to, like, pound the table and go, rules!
You didn't let me win it tic-tac-toe.
Oh, Reince. Again, mad respect. Brilliant lawyer. Brilliant political strategist. Why say that stuff on the... All right, my favorite part's coming up. Kamala versus old white dudes. Yay! We'll end on a high note this afternoon. It'll be good. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. Your farm update is next. You're listening to The Civic Media. You gotta let them know. Oh, and then Senator Harris definitely let them know. Don't mess. Like she told a sorority from a traditionally black sorority, I think on Wednesday, this was yesterday, like, we're not playing. And then Senator Harris definitely didn't play when it came to hearings. She was a member of the Judiciary Committee. We're going to listen to some of her questioning of Bill Barr, Jeff Sessions, and of course, Brett Kavanaugh. But I want to take a couple of your calls and texts first. Anne from Chippewa Falls texting in that she thought President Biden's speech was incredibly heartfelt and made her tear up. Me too, Anne. I feel ya. Mark from Prairie du Sac saying, Reince Priebus. Sounds like rancid pee. Yes.
There is a famous quote from John Stewart saying that you can't spell pubic rinse without Reince Priebus.
No comment. Matt from Germantown also pointing out that sacrifice for others and selflessness is kind of a theme in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
It's a thing. And we've got one of our longtime listeners and callers on the line. Doug from Cudahy, what do you have to say this afternoon? Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, Maggie. It's wonderful to talk to you today. I want to make some correlations between what's happened in the last few years here. During the January 6th hearings, Liz Cheney pointed to the magnificent painting of George Washington handing over the keys. I don't know if you remember that part, but there was another thing that happened before I was born, slightly before I was born, because I was born in 67. But Jack Kennedy said that, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I think that Joe Biden the other night fulfilled that promise. And I just want to point that out to all our fellow Americans, all my fellow Wisconsinites, and to you and Brian, and send peace and love and good luck on the election. Let's think about those things, okay?
Thanks so much, Doug. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that's what it's about, is selflessness and service to others, and not just select others, not just those that are on your team. So very, very important. Amy from Madison texting in that she had several classes with Reince at UW-Madison, and he hasn't changed a bit. At least he's consistent. I mean, I'll give him a little credit for that. I think most of my friends would be like, no, you're exactly the way that you were in high school.
Okay. I mean, I've grown a little bit. I'm slightly more and less dumb at the same time.
I think I'm much slower to anger. That part of me has...
I'm much quicker to anger.
Well, see, you know, we're all changing. Mark from Prairie du Sac, what do you have to say this afternoon, friend?
Yeah, well, hey, Kellyanne, you're so lame. I don't care what you have to say, kind of based on your Hey Marianne song. But it is just sad what comes out of them. And I don't think they want to take us back to the 1960s or the 1860s. I think the 1660s, when the Puritans were positing that the worst form of government was democracy, and that because they didn't find it in the Bible, that... Israel wasn't run as a democracy back in the scriptures, which is surprising considering they might kind of separate the whole thing that Israel was consistent of Jewish people and the anti-Semitism that went on, but they kind of revered Israel, but they sure didn't revere Jews in any form or shape. That that took an up until Washington's time when he actually told the Jewish congregation, I can't remember then where it was right off the top of my head, you're welcome here in this country. We're not a Christian nation. We recognize all faiths, and it is just sad that the Republicans have embraced that. I mean, that they should be Project 2025 and Agenda 47 are just anathema to a democratic republic.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And our country is not a country that has a religion. We do not have a national religion, and it should damn well better stay that way. You want something else? You move. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris versus old white dudes. Brought to you by Maggie Dawn and Brian Kelly. Shall we begin with Bill Barr?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And this is all from May 2019. This is about the Mueller investigation, which Bill Barr got up and lied about weeks before he actually released the over-redacted Mueller report, which a federal judge, later chastised Bill Barr about. I have done entire shows on Bill Barr, who I think is the most dangerous man in the world. You can check those out, civicmedia.us, 2 months ago or so, something like that. I mean, his meddling and cover-ups go back decades.
Iran-Contra.
Yes, friends. You can check that out. Okay, let's take a listen. This is just about the first question about the investigation. This is one of my favorites.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attorney General Barr, has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone?
I wouldn't.
Yes or no?
Could you repeat that question?
I will repeat it. Yeah. Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please, sir.
The president or anybody else.
Seems you'd remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest. I mean, there have been discussions of matters out there that they have not asked me to open an investigation, but...
Perhaps they've suggested?
I don't know. I wouldn't say suggest.
Hinted?
I don't know.
Inferred? You don't know. Okay.
You lying sack of potatoes. It's like... You guys want to make fun of Bill Clinton? Well, it depends on what is. Bill Barr doesn't know what suggest, infers, hints, asks, anything like. Did Donald Trump try to sick the DOJ on his political enemies, sir? Did a Donald Trump surrogate try to insist, suggest, hint, fantasize about sicking the DOJ that you controlled on political enemies? That's the question, sir. You think you'd probably remember that.
Now, keep in mind, in these things, you only have a set amount of time.
Yeah.
So if he continues,
she's waiting.
So if he continues to talk about, I don't know what suggest means, let's have a whole
discussion.
He's
eating clock.
He's eating clock.
She's very patient. And I mean, what a smug dude. Like, who's the big blobby creature from Star Wars?
Oh, Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. Bill Barr, Jabba the Hutt.
I think he's more, like, you ever watch that TV show Dinosaurs? He's like the not the mama, the little baby that goes, not the mama. That,
yes,
that's exactly
that's
his face.
Aging us. That's aging us.
I don't care.
Now, here's where I can almost hear the teeth smack in this one, where she's like, yeah, I'm speaking. This is good.
In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report.
But I will say that no one.
Sir, I'm asking a question. Yeah.
No, you won't say. You will say what you're going to say after I'm done asking a question. And then I want to listen to a couple of these. She's drilling down on what exactly did you look at? You didn't or did look at evidence, but you said you... But y'all can listen for yourself. It's Rich. Let's listen to a couple of these, Brian.
In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Now, the special counsel's investigation produced a great deal of evidence. I'm led to believe it included witnesses' notes and emails, witnesses' congressional testimony, witnesses' interviews, which were summarized in the FBI 302 forms, former FBI Director Comey's memos, and the president's public statements. My question is, in reaching your conclusion, did you personally review all of the underlying evidence?
No, we took... And
Mr. Rosenstein?
No, we accepted the statements in the report as the factual record. We did not go underneath it to see whether or not they were accurate. We accepted it as accurate and made our.
So you accepted the report as the evidence?
Yes.
You did not question or look at the underlying evidence that supports the conclusions in the report?
No.
Did Mr. Rosenstein review the evidence that underlines and supports the conclusions in the report, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. We accepted the statements in the report.
Did anyone
the characterization of the evidence is true.
Did anyone in your executive office review the evidence supporting the report?
No.
No. Yet you represented to the American public that the evidence was not, quote, sufficient to support an obstruction of justice offense.
The evidence presented in the report. This is not a mysterious process. In the Department of Justice, we have PROS memos and declination memos every day coming up. And we don't go and look at the underlying evidence.
Would you support
the characterization of the evidence as true?
As the Attorney General of the United States, you run the United States Department of Justice. If in any U.S. Attorney's office around the country, the head of that office, when being asked to make a critical decision about, in this case, the person who holds the highest office in the land, and whether or not that person committed a crime, would you accept them recommending a charging decision to you if they had not reviewed the evidence?
Well, that's a question for Bob Mueller. He's the U.S. attorney. He's the one who presents the report.
But it was you who made the charging decision, sir.
What?
You made the decision not to charge the president.
No, in a PROS memo and in a declination memo.
You said it was your baby. What did you mean by that?
It was my baby to decide whether or not to disclose it to the public.
And whose decision was it? Who had the power to make the decision about whether or not the evidence was sufficient to make a determination of whether there had been an obstruction of justice?
Prosecution memos go up to the supervisor. In this case, it was the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General who decide on the final decision. And that is based on the memo as presented by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I think you've made it clear that you've not looked at the evidence. We can move on. I think you've made it clear, sir, that you've not looked at the evidence, and we can move on.
Oh, he's so bad. Let's take this last one. The consulting with Rosenstein on charging a case he's a witness in. Let's take a listen to this one.
And I'm glad you brought that subject up because I have a question about that. Earlier today, in response to Senator Graham, you said, quote, that you consulted with Rosenstein constantly, unquote, with respect to the special counsel's investigation and report. But Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein is also a key witness in the firing of FBI Director Comey. Did you consult Did you consult with DOJ ethics officials before you enlisted Rod Rosenstein to participate in a charging decision for an investigation, the subject of which he is also a witness?
My understanding was that he had been cleared already to participate in it by the.
So you had consulted with them and they cleared it?
No, I think they cleared it when he took over the investigation.
Did you consult?
My understanding.
You don't know whether he's been cleared of a conflict of interest?
He would be participating if there was a conflict of interest.
Wow. But you just said that you did consult with him and he's a witness. I mean, she good. She real good. We'll listen to some more right after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Kamala versus Brett is next.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.
I feel good when I listen to an incredibly erudite, smart, brat woman. Meaning, she ain't messing around. We're not playing around. I feel pretty good when I listen to then-Senator Kamala Harris basically destroy professional curmudgeon bagman Bill Barr. I mean, he looked like a liar. He looked incompetent. I'm not done talking. So, I mean, it's great. She also just absolutely destroyed Jeff Sessions at his confirmation. You talk about a guy that looks like he might be losing his marbles.
He's an angry elf.
Yes, Jeff went down. There's two that I wanted to pull out because I think they're just especially great. And then we're going to listen to Kamala versus Brett. This is the, will you commit to learning the rules of your own? This is just good. Take a listen, everybody.
Will you make a commitment to this committee that you will share any written correspondence, be they your calendars, records, notes, emails, or anything that has been reduced at any point in time in writing to this committee where legally you actually have an obligation to do so?
I'll commit to reviewing the rules of the department and when that issue is raised to respond appropriately.
Wow. How about where she makes him nervous? It's the very next one, I think.
Did you have any communications with Russian officials for any reason during the campaign that have not been disclosed in public or to this committee?
I don't recall it, but I have to tell you, I cannot testify to what was said as we were standing at the Republican convention before the podium where I spoke.
I don't have a detailed memory of that. Okay, as it relates to your knowledge. Did you have any communication with any Russian businessmen or any
Russian nationals?
I don't believe I had any conversation with Russian businessmen or Russian nationals.
Are you aware of any communications?
A lot of people were at the convention. It's conceivable that somebody came up to me.
Sir, I have just a few.
Well, you let me qualify it. If I don't qualify it, you'll accuse me of lying. So I need to be correct as best I can.
I do want you to be honest.
And I'm not able to be rushed this fast. It makes me nervous.
Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry. Tough questions make you nervous.
Yeah, the poor kid with the poor U.S. attorney.
Yeah. The freaking...
That was a U.S. attorney?
He was the attorney general at the time. Okay.
I don't know.
I get nervous. Anyways, these are my favorites. This is Kamala Harris questioning Brett Kavanaugh during his Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Let's start with Oberfeld.
You've said that Brown v. Board.
Yeah, that's it.
Was one of the greatest moments in the court's history. Do you believe that Obergefell was also one of those moments?
I've said, Senator, consistent with what the nominees have done, that the vast swath of modern case law, as Justice Kagan put it, you can't, as a nominee in this seat, give a thumbs up or thumbs down. That's her word.
Do you think that Obergefell was one of the great moments in the history of the Supreme Court of the United States?
And for that reason, those nominees have declined to comment on recent cases.
Great moment is what I'm asking you, not to comment on the legal analysis. Do you believe that was a great moment in the history of the court?
So the Justice Kennedy wrote the majority opinion saying the days of treating gay and lesbian Americans or gay and lesbian couples as second-class citizens or inferior in dignity and worth are over in the Supreme Court. That's a very important statement, Senator.
I agree. That's why I think you repeated it. Thank you.
Answer the question.
It's real easy.
Except if you're Brett Kavanaugh. Next up, I'd like to take a listen to the question about, men's bodies and things.
Can you think of any laws that give government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm happy to answer a more specific question. But
male versus female.
There are medical procedures.
That the government has the power to make a decision about a man's body?
I thought you were asking about medical procedures that are unique to men.
I'll repeat the question. Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm not thinking of any right now, Senator.
Yeah, because there aren't any. That's the guy that, reversed Roe v. Wade. And last, but certainly not least, this zinger about, men being friends with women doesn't really eliminate the possibility for bad things to have happened.
Do you agree that it is possible for men to both be friends with some women and treat other women badly?
Of course, but the point I've been emphasizing, and that is if you go back to age 14 for me, you will find people, and not just people, lots of people who I've been friends with, some of whom are in this room today, starting at age 14.
I have women friends.
And who talked about my friendships with them through my whole life, and it's a consistent pattern all the way through. 65 women who knew me more than 35 years ago signed a letter to support me after the allegation was made because they know me. And they were with me, and we grew up together. We talked on the phone together, and we went to events together.
We're going to cut it off here.
Is who I am.
Tomorrow we'll come back to this clip because it's so important. No, Brett, you can be friends with some women and have sexually assaulted different women. Two things true at the same time. Not answering the question, Brett. We're going to leave it there, my friends. We'll be back tomorrow with a little bit of the vice presidential dating game. Who is she going to pick as her mate? It's exciting times. The Devil's Advocate Radio Show is up next for you all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together.